This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. More now on Super Bowl Sunday. 130 million viewers are expected to tune into the game on CBS. When the game takes a break for halftime at the end of the second quarter, a whole other competition will begin. Counter-programming from other halftime-length segments by other TV outlets hoping to lure away CBS's audience for a while. These efforts include one especially breathtaking alternative on pay-per-view TV. Andrew Wallenstein covers television for The Hollywood Reporter and reviews TV for Day to Day.
For only $19.99, cable and satellite subscribers can order the Lingerie Bowl. No, Victoria's Secret isn't pushing pottery now. The Lingerie Bowl is another football game played by amateurs who happen to be scantily clad models.
That's right, Lingerie Bowl, featuring a 7-on-7 supermodels tackle football game wearing lingerie. How can you not watch?
Beautiful women tackling each other in their undergarments. As Super Bowl diversions go, there is kind of an evil ingenuity to the idea. But never has pandering to the lowest common denominator seemed so darn low. The first thing you should know is the Lingerie Bowl is something of a misnomer. The women don't actually play in lingerie, just sports bras and short shorts. See, it's okay for them to risk bodily injury, but thank heaven someone had the sense to know that AstroTurf stains silk. But in a strange way, the Lingerie Bowl actually takes itself somewhat seriously. The players were chosen not only on the basis of their beauty, but athletic ability. They have been practicing and conditioning for the game, which will be observed by referees enforcing NFL rules. And of course, there's the complete absence of jello, mud, or any of the other viscous substances that usually accompany full-contact female competition. Quarterback Nikki Ziering actually made what seems like a sincere effort to learn the game.
I had all these questions that seemed, I guess, really silly for the coaches, but, you know, I didn't know what snap the ball was, you know. I'm like, what do you mean, throw it faster, you know, like snappy? I don't know, you know. So, but now that we're actually playing a game and everybody's in, you know, it's all sort of making sense.
It probably won't surprise you to hear that the Lingerie Bowl is not sanctioned by the National Football League. Chrysler was actually set to sponsor the game until it withdrew after protests from feminist groups. Online gambling site PartyPoker.com has since stepped in, and you could probably assume Gloria Steinem doesn't sit on their board of directors. The truth is, you really can't blame the Lingerie Bowl for trying. If it could siphon even just a fraction of the Super Bowl audience, it would be a huge success. That's what the Fox Network was thinking back in 1992, when it decided to schedule the sketch comedy show In Living Color opposite halftime. Experts thought they were crazy, but Fox had the last laugh. The show managed to steal away 29 million viewers. That's the same number of people who watched the number one show in the country last week, American Idol. The very next year, the Super Bowl went on the defensive. Instead of the usual array of marching bands and fireworks, Michael Jackson performed. Ever since then, the Super Bowl has staged massive spectacles with some of the biggest names in pop music. This year is no exception, with Janet Jackson, P. Diddy, and Nelly on the bill. Maybe we should have seen the Lingerie Bowl coming. 2 years ago, NBC sought to upstage halftime with a special Playboy Playmate edition of Fear Factor. Between Fear Factor and the Lingerie Bowl, the Super Bowl halftime is evolving into something like a lunar eclipse, allowing us to peer into the darkest corner of programmers' souls, or at least what's left of them. It's as if the prospect of a massive audience renders them incapable of exercising an ounce of restraint. I'm reminded of an urban legend that reservoirs around the country empty during Super Bowl halftime because so many people take the opportunity to leave their lazy boys for the bathroom. Maybe this year they're better off staying there until the game continues.
Andrew Wallenstein writes about television for The Hollywood Reporter.